When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and people from around the world, welcome to The Meta Show. It is March the 13th, 2021. I am Brisker Ball, one of your co-hosts. I'm joined alongside a cast of veritable, crazy, and intelligent people this week. Besides, as always, the Mitanni, we also have, for the first time ever on camera, Bruden from Karma Fleet University in person. We have our dear friend Innominate, and we have Riv, who is our favorite editor-in-chief of INN, who's here to talk about a bunch of different stuff. We got a hell of a show for you guys, and you deserve it because we missed last week. Sorry.
Yeah, it's good times. I'm glad that we're back. We had a break last week. We were going to go like, oh, hey, what are we going to do? At the time, there wasn't much news. And then the day after, I was like, hey, we're gonna take a break, whatever. Then I got up and did a fireside and said, we're going to draw down the M2 Hell Camp. So first it was like, we're going to take a break. And then awkward
good time,
silence.
Boss. Thanks for that. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I might have made people wibble a little bit or freak them out, but it was actually planned to take a break. And then it was like, let's let go of the pigeon. It's starting to stink. So we have like 2 weeks of news. And unfortunately, I have bad news for everybody. I was eating sandwiches last night, like I do, in addition to eating sushi. I had eaten a lot of sandwiches, and I was browsing through YouTube at like 2 a.m, and I saw a Talking in Stations thumbnail that popped up with, you know, Matterall looking very serious or whatever on the YouTube thumbnail saying, Delve has fallen, last few days to evac. So, sorry, guys.
That's news to me.
Sorry, guys. No, it's, I missed the damn memo. You know, it's over. It's done. Crying in Stations has declared victory. I'm sure that there's a lot of amusing excuses for that. But yeah, anyway, so we have a lot of war news to go over. M2 Camp is over. The M2 Keepstar has been destroyed, which is fantastic because that will make it a lot easier for CCB to put together a monument to Vili and Pappy's cowardice. The sooner that the Keepstar is out of the way, the sooner we can have the monument that we deserve for the biggest strategic fuck-up and the biggest tactical fuck-up in EVE Online history, which, don't worry, we are never going to let you forget about that. Ever, ever,
ever. Did you notice
ever.
It's a red shirt show today? Just saying, guys. Mm-hmm. You might have noticed.
Yeah, so we have a lot of shit to go over in addition to having a fireside show. So we have a panel of interesting folks joining us. We don't want to skip over any of the, oh my God, M2 got blown up. Oh my God, Satios are getting blown up. There are, I said this on the fireside, we actually dug into this. We had more than 60 Satios in Delve. I believe 34 have been blown up and there's like 30 more to go. So I hope that Paspy has more vacation time to use to grind through our Satios. Good luck. Have some fun with that. We are going to be talking about that too. As well as going over later on in the show, we've got MER information. We have Legacy eating shit across almost all of their regions while they colonize Delve because the war is over. Delve has fallen. We're going to be digging into all of those regions that are on fire and have eaten shit just to ram it in the entire galaxy's faces, because I'm hoping that we have a lot of people from the bad guy side tuning in today, hoping to hear more.
Of course they're watching. They think this is the end of the show.
Oh my God.
It's over.
Yeah, it sucks to be you guys. You get to fight our Euros from now on because we got our Sov swap today, finally, after a month. Not our Sov swap, our Citadel swap.
So, for all you guys who've been sitting here saying, why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't they defending anything? We're waiting 30 days to get our Sino Jammers up, and we're going to do, what are we waiting for? Well, guess what? We were waiting 30 days too. And now you get to go have fun in EU time zone again, like at the beginning of the war, where we held you off for 4 months before you could pretty much do anything in Delve. And now our EUTZ guys have had a break, and now they're back. And it's going
to
be
just fun. In time for them to start losing fights in USTZ, right? Like, it's kind of interesting. We're like, okay, we need to have 30 days to get our Citadel defense vulnerabilities going, you know, twiddle, 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 because CCB has nerfed that stuff so much. And then next thing you know, like last night, I'm out eating sandwiches, eating sushi, enjoying myself. There's a bunch of screen pings. And next thing I know, we're beating PASPI in US time zone on a Friday and outnumbering them too. So the war has kind of taken an interesting pivot now that we're in the post M2 environment. It's going to be exciting times. Let's dive into it. Let's do some stuff.
We'll get
stuff.
Into that. But the first, before that, I want to say hi to the guys that are here. Give them a chance to say hi and talk and stuff because,
are we?
You know, I can talk paint off a wall. And it's a good idea to let our guests actually get in a word in edgewise. So I'm going to start Nom Nom. Hey, Nom Nom, how are you?
Hey, doing good.
Are you happy to be here? You look great. The new camera is looking great. Thanks. I see you got a red shirt. You ready to go?
It was completely unintentional.
Well, that's the joke. Like, I saw everybody had a red shirt. I gotta put a red shirt on, so I might get a red shirt show. Rev, thank you for joining us. I love that you're here. You add a gravitas to this show that us four, you know, goofballs will not be able to withstand. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me on.
I know we don't get you very often, but when we do, it's because we got some hard-hitting analysis we're looking for. And I want to talk MER and high-sec stuff with you in a little while, and then we'll get there. And then, Bruden. Hi, Bruden. How are you? Are you doing okay?
Well, I'm doing well. Doing
are
well.
You sure? Are you sure? Is it really you? Because I don't know if it's really you or not until I see. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Yes, it is Bruden. The Pancake Cat is here. We can't have a show without the Pancake Cat. We made it happen. So thanks for joining. All right, so let's go ahead. We'll get started with the top. Actually, you know, before we do this top story, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute.
Uh-oh.
Because I haven't done this in a while. I'm getting on my soapbox. All right, two things. First of all, look, guys, I love you to death. I really, really do. I especially love the Bads because as much as we hear from our friends when we skip a week on the meta show, we hear even more from the bad guys when we skip a week on the meta show. And obviously the timing was suspect because right the day that we decided to skip the meta show, because legitimately I was taking my kid Little League tryouts. By the way, congratulations, Captain No Glass, you made the majors this year. There are like four tiers of Little League that my kid could be in, from AA, AAA, up to the majors. He made the majors from his tryouts, so I'm proud of him. He's going to be playing with the best kids this year. I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, we took the week off, and instantly, we get Reddit posts. Where's the meta show? Is everything okay? Are they done? Are they not? Guys, we're human beings. We have real lives. There's things happening. This is literally a year from the start of COVID. We've been here almost every week I think we've skipped maybe four episodes in the last year that weren't like holidays, that were like nobody was watching anything. Every once in a while, we're going to take a break. So that's all it was. There was nothing planned. I found, you know, when I found out about M2, the Hellcamp being brought down, it was like 5 o'clock that afternoon. Actually, it was like 3:30, 3:45 after the fireside, when my Discord blew up with people asking me whether it was true or not. And I'm like, I don't fucking know. I wasn't there. I was in the bathtub. I was goofing off. I wasn't paying any attention to what happened on the fireside. We had the day off. I took the day off. So every once in a while, we will take the day off. It doesn't mean anything. It's not because we don't have anything to talk about. And we don't take the day off when there is news. We take the day off when there really hasn't been any. And the fact was, we had already decided we're going to take the day off before there was news. The other thing that I want to talk about, my blood pressure is fine. I took my pill. The other thing that I want to talk about is it is absolutely hilarious to me that this entire week, the Hellcamp went down last Saturday. Immediately, they got their stuff out. They started reffing the Keepstar. The Sino Jammer went up on Sunday. And the entire week, it was post after post after post after post on our Eve talking about the M2 gate camp and all this other kind of stuff. And then, of course, the inevitable was, how are you going to spend this one, goons? So we simply said what we've been saying from the beginning. M2 mattered when it mattered. when we knew we were going to lose it, we said, hey, you know what? We're going to take this out on our terms. We'll let you guys go. We'll pull it down ourselves before you can break out and win an even bigger victory. And we'll go back to not caring about M2, which is exactly how we were before M2 became a thing. And that's not us trying to say we don't care. And it's not us spinning. It's just the reality was, prior to the fights in M2, M2 was a backwater system with a crab star in it, and nobody cared about it. And then it became the most important thing ever because we had two massive fights and we killed hundreds of Titans.
302 Titans.
Worth way more than that Keep Star and way more than all the Keep Stars in Delph combined and all the Sodios thrown in there too, by the way. And then it mattered for that time. And then the Hellcamp mattered because we were trying to keep you guys. But as soon as it became untenable, instead of trying to hold on to something way after it needed to be held on to, we said, you know what? It's time to set it down. We did a good job. We held you guys for 2 months. We made you stop logging in. You couldn't bring your Titans in. We focused on this for 2 months. It was great. Now we're moving to the next thing. It doesn't mean M2 didn't matter for that two-month period. It just means it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, hopefully there'll be more M2s. That's sort of the hope, is that we get to the point where, reset the chessboard. There's more Keep Stars. Every single Keep Star is an opportunity for Pappy to fuck up their coward jammer strategy. They've gone back to their coward jammer strategy, which is the thing they've been doing all war. And M2 was an opportunity that we exploited to murder zone all their dudes. And we are racking them up again. And we're hoping for more opportunities and more Titan fights because, as was said since the beginning, we expect to win those as we have consistently done so throughout our history. Brisk is such a nice guy. Every time he gets up and he gives one of these, like, you know, good guy Brisk, soapboxes where he's talking about, like, you know, the enemy says one thing and then they're like mad about us skipping the meta show or whatever. And oh my God, whatever. I just really want to remind people after we've Brisk is going to reach out to you. He is going to try to meet you halfway. He is going to try to rationally and reasonably address your concerns. And I always want to end these things by reminding you to cry more, you fucking bitches, and eat my ass. We are going to line up more opportunities here. We have now moved the fun zone for our Keepstar timers into Euro Prime, where our Euros will get to fight your Euros and we'll see what happens. I don't really give a shit. Like, we'll. It's interesting. I feel bad about it because it's like, you know, should I, when he's funny. Doing, when he's trying to reach out to them, I'm like, you know, you could just scream, eat my ass at them, right? Like, you don't have to meet them halfway. But on the other hand, if we had a show where both people were screaming, you can't, you gotta have good cop and bad cop. Otherwise, it would be sort of a lame dynamic.
But they wanted to get there.
Go ahead, Nom Nom.
They wanted to get their big victory, their big win in M2 after all this time. And I'm sorry, guys, you took the coward way out. You had 2 months to get your big victory, but instead you put up the Sino Jammer. You forced a situation where there couldn't be a fight, and that's it. Like, congratulations. I mean, you took the system back. It took you 2 months. You were complete cowards about it. You were not willing to fight your way out. And so, you know, now you're stuck in a situation where you finally killed M2, and congratulations. It doesn't feel like a victory because it's not a victory.
You notice that they brought twice as many faction Titans to the kill timer as they did to the armor timer when we were there to actually fight them.
Well, of course, they're going to dock up their faction Titans when there's any possible chance that we're going to kill them. But God, I mean, that's what I have to laugh about. It's like, these guys have not used any of their supers or anything for anything, and now they're finally getting a chance to use them again because they're killing undefended Keep Stars. Great. You know, every Keep Star.
Well, they're
going to
be undefended until they get defended, right? Like, that's the other thing about this. M2 was a Keep Star that was under a jammer because they went through their coward strategy. They're going back to that. They are attacking one of our Keep Stars right now. Remember earlier when they were blowing up Sotillos and they were like, guys, you've lost a Sotillo. We dug up the numbers today, and I think I mentioned this at the start of the show. It turns out that we had like 60 of the fucking things in Delve, and we kept discovering more because corporations hadn't registered this one or that one. We're like, oh, well, it turned out we had 3 Sotillos over here and 5 Sotillos over there. Great. Right now there is, in fact, a Keep Star of the Imperium's, one of our however many, that is being attacked and is going to be blown up. That is, like, I don't think we've ever said that we would go into this war and not have serious attrition every level,
right?
Except at the member level, because unlike Legacy, our shit is not failure cascading, which we're going to be turning to make fun of here in a bit. Mm-hmm. So while these guys grind our CTOs and while they go back to doing the coward strategy, we have had an opportunity to rest, to recuperate, to fix our shit, and to slam our vulnerability timer into EU. So we'll see what happens. I mean, again, this is the business end of the war. Either it's going to be proven that our strategy was the correct one, and when three blocks enter, two blocks leave, Legacy is going to try to colonize us while all their shit burns down behind them, and then they will fail, and the Imperium will still be standing, and Legacy will be fucked sideways. Or, I'm wrong, we're all wrong, goons will break, the Imperium falters and fails, and then Legacy successfully colonizes us. So it is the put up or shut up phase of the war. But I think it's really interesting. I expect it because basically what we saw was after M2, when we won M2, we saw it was about a week before the Pappy guys kind of like got back out there and started shooting Sotillos and doing things again. And we saw sort of like a similar thing here where we took down the M2 camp. And then for a few days, it was people just going, oh, hey, like, wait a second, we can do things besides camp M2 and like get back out there and sort of get on the bicycle again. You know, obviously, I was hoping that would happen. I predicted that would happen. I placed my bets on that happening. And so it was obviously gratifying to see last night that our U.S. time zone outnumbered, outformed, and kicked the shit out of Vili and his crew of idiots. I don't know how they think that they're going to colonize Delve, but I look forward to it. I continue to look forward to it. Bring it, bitches. And yeah, like, enjoy your blue balls under structure grinds. Right, but we should talk about other things. Let's move on.
We're going to hit our top story.
You missed the meta things. Show. Did you expect me to not call you assholes and tell you to eat my ass? You waited for 2 weeks. You were begging, where's the meta show? Where's the meta show? What's going to happen? I'm still going to call you a coward. I'm still going to tell you to cry more. I'm still going to tell you that it's only a matter of time until we fuck what is left of your supercap fleet to death, just like we got started on those first 302 Titans. What the hell did you expect, motherfuckers? What the hell did you expect?
It's all time right. For your double dose, your double helping of eat my ass, because we missed last week. But anyway, here's our top story. We're going to talk about Imperium Strikes Back, some other stuff that's been going on, and it's happening right now. All right, so for our top story, obviously, we talked about the M2 Hellcamp going down. We talked about what has happened since then. Well, the only other news that the guys have been spinning quite a bit over the last couple of days has been Elitist Ops has left the Imperium. They have moved back to Snuffed Out. Congratulations, Penif, Thrawn, my boys. Go have fun. We know you guys loved hanging out with the Snuff guys. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us for a couple months. We hope you guys kick some ass down in LoSec. We're looking forward to seeing what y'all do. But last night was fun, because one of the things that has been an axiom of this war that we have tried to explain over and over and over again is we have been fighting with consistent bad numbers, especially in U.S. time zone, because the bad guys can bring three times as many people on any given Sunday. Well, any given Friday night, lately, they have not been putting out the numbers that they were putting out just a couple months ago. And here's an evidence of this. Last night, we had a big fight in 1DQ. Actually, it wasn't in 1D. It was around a bunch of systems. And it was this was big fights that were pretty much precipitated by us going out and hacking a number of iHubs in systems that mattered to us. The result was clear-cut Imperium victory. Let me show you the battle report here real quick. So 39P is the ancestral home of Karma Fleet and Delve. A number of these systems, PSTAC here is a Keepstar system. A number of these systems here, we ended up going through and having a huge fight. And across all of these systems, the numbers were pretty similar. It ended up, now, right now, you can see on here, it says 392 to 368. It was more like 500 to 500 overall. But the fact is, this was a straight-up multi-system hacking fight. See, we killed Vili's Minakawa. We killed a bunch of guys, Jeremy and the test guys. We went through and we straight up, we beat these guys, period. Not only did we beat these guys, we were able to hack all of these systems, including a final iHub timer here. You can see right here, PS94 Tappy iHub dead and replaced. That was the main goal of the fight. And that was a job well done to the Imperium. We killed twice as much as we lost, and we reset the iHub timer. in a system. So there you go. That is what we have been trying to tell you guys from the beginning. First of all, one, we know you got to come into 1DQ to finish what you're trying to do. You're going to clear out all of the rest of Delve. That's fine. But when we get these solid one-to-one, where our numbers are relatively similar fights, we will hold our own with everybody else in the game. And we have done that consistently over and over again, and we're going to keep doing that. And as long as we can get anything close to parity in terms of numbers, even if we are outnumbered, because we've won fights outnumbered, we don't need to take fights only when we have a 3-to-1 advantage, unlike our friends on the other side. We will take fights whenever we can take a fight where we have a good chance to win, and that's exactly what the guys did last night. So kudos to all of you. Congratulations on that big victory. Now, what else has been going on around the rest of the war? Because obviously the bads would have you, and whether you're listening to Talking in Testing Stations or you're listening to any of the other shows, or you want to hear Billy talk, they're all going to say is, Delve is fallen, goons are dying, they have one system left, because they keep forgetting we have a whole constellation behind 1DQ.
We're
all dead. What are we going to do? The fact is, the rest of Legacy Space... Now, PanFab's fine. They're up. They're hiding up in drone regions. They have nothing to worry about. Their stuff is fine. Fraternity is gobbling up regions as fast as they can grab them. But the rest, as we have been noting every other week on the Meta Show, the rest of Legacy Space looks like it got nuked from orbit. It's just really bad, okay? So let me show you, first of all, this was last night, and I have to laugh about this one. In Impasse, the Imperium has been fighting to clear out the dregs of Legacy. This is Eternal Requiem space. we find an abandoned Fortizar. An abandoned Fortizar. Not only was this Fortizar crammed with stuff from a bunch of people, and you can see a lot of these things that were on here are ships that were dropped by the fork. We ended up blowing them up because we couldn't grab enough of them. But this Fortizar ended up dropping something close to 200 billion ISK worth of stuff, including a dread cache that these guys just happened to fucking forget in Impasse. And we got it all.
Thank you.
You know what? You're love to tease in it about not having any SRP. Guys, you just funded our SRP for 2 weeks. Thanks. Appreciate it. You know,
oh my God.
This is the stuff that we're doing in the backfield. It's just hilarious. And not only, I got even more. These are even more funny, and we'll get to it. So then, while they're out doing this, this happens. We catch a Charon, an Eternal Requiem Charon, in the same area of Impasse. Oh, and what does it have in there?
Oh, wow. They're evacuating.
What does it have in there?
Aren't they?
Oh, look. There's a Satoyo that you guys were pulling out and trying to move. Yoink, got that. Appreciate it. Then just today, let me pull this back. Just today, earlier today, Brave Fenrir dies sitting on the Keepstar in Impasse. And then this guy, I gotta love this guy. This guy didn't even fight. He just fucking self-destructed sitting on the keep. Like these guys.
Because he got tackled, I see.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's sitting on his own Keepstar. And he got tackled because he wasn't tethered. This is the type of stuff that is happening right now all across Ketch, Immensi, Impasse, Tenerifus, all of these other areas.
Let's see.
It's just bad. Yeah.
Could you actually bring up some of the dot line? I don't know about real time. We got this repaired, but I'm going to herfill a few blurfs here because I'm watching some of the Pispy guys crying in chat because they expected that they were going to get the Matterall treatment, or maybe like, isn't Delve over? We saw a thumbnail that Delve was over, or we've decided that Delve is over because of all of this stuff. So we're going to ram some maps in your faces because I want you guys to understand that this has been a fully operational wood chipper the entire time. When three blocks enter, two blocks leave.
And that's what do we exactly got right. Here, first? Here we go. All right, first of all, Ketch. This is Ketch right now, okay? 2 months ago, January, middle of January, Brave held 29 systems in Ketch. GE Tech in the center there is their Keepstar system. They have lost everything in Ketch but three systems, including GE Tech. but it's reinforced. All of their Keepstar systems are reinforced. That's Ketch right now. That's how bad. You think Ketch is bad? You think Ketch is bad? Look at Impasse.
I was surprised by
this space, and it's almost all getting cleared out.
I thought that Impasse was going to take a little bit longer, but Impasse went super fast. MNC was the first to go.
Look at this. Look at that. They had every single system in MNC. All of this was either Brave or Requiem.
Oh, they're running. They're running. I'm getting whining in chat. Guys, Paspy is running into a situation where they don't feel comfortable. So I've had enough of your spin. I'm out. Oh, I don't want to look at the fact that Legacy is dying in a fire while they try to colonize Delve because, oh, wait, we were actually doing things while you were getting blue balled on one of our 60 odd Satios in Delve. They don't want to look at this stuff because they want the Matterall treatment. They want to be told Delve is falling.
They want to say,
the easy way out. Oh, gee, you guys aren't a bunch of fucking cowards who have created the biggest blue donut in history. Now, just a mark of shame.
They're leaving. We're leaving all of that space. We're not going to live there anymore. We're moving to Quirius and period basis.
Cry, we're going to take a bunch
of eye out there instead.
Yeah, guys, I remember, and this is the thing that makes me laugh. Whenever we change our opinions about stuff, we get accused of saying, oh, well, that never mattered. Didn't want that space anyway. Mm-hmm. When we have Piggles and other folks on record saying we're going to keep all of our space and take all their space, and within the span of 2 months, they realize they can't do that, and they have to give up all the space that they have to take space that is never going to be uncontested, or at least not going to be uncontested anytime soon. I feel bad for these guys. They're dismantling 3 years worth of stuff that they've built up in these areas to move to an active war zone. Now, Tess's fine. They can do that. They've got Horde and the rest of these guys holding their hands in Delve. But nobody else has that. Nobody's got that in Quirius. And not one or two groups is not going to be able to pull the stuff out for these guys. So as much as you want to say, oh, well, we don't live there anymore. Well, yeah, we know. But you know what? We heard a lot of shit about floodplains. And I hear a lot of oh, well, Esoteria is just a floodplain kind of talk coming out of you guys now. By the way, look at Esoteria. How about that?
Here's another thing. While you are shooting an undefended Keepstar because you have gone the coward route, right? I'm seeing you guys being very angry in chat. Why aren't you happy? If you're succeeding in burning Delve and if everything is going your way, why does all of this information from Dotland make you uncomfortable? Why does the failure cascades in Legacy bother you so much? Why did you get so mad when a couple weeks ago on the meta show, Brisk was facts, facts, facts. Here are all of these things that are happening to Legacy. And gosh, you all just ran like little bitches from that. It is hilarious because if you were having some sort of glorious victory in Delve, why aren't you smugging? Why are you angry when the man in the red shirt calls you a coward? Shouldn't you be patting yourselves on the back about what a great job you're doing and what pride you have in the amazing accomplishments of your leadership that have tried to do this for almost, 9 months? 10 months
just
now?
Because,
holy
just because
shit, what a record of shame.
I'm fair, and Mittens loves to say that I'm fair and he's the eat my ass guy. I will do what you guys are asking. You want to see it? All right, here's the Delve map. Here's the Delve map. Yes. Look.
Oh, no. We lost almost all of our IHUBs. Who could have predicted this?
I know. But look.
Oh,
hey, guess what?
Oh no.
PS94 over here. Well, we took that back.
IHUB hockey. It's a thing.
It's fine. And we're seeing over here. And no tech. Look at that. It's cleared out. Look at all of the stuff that's reft up in the upper corner near Iridia.
The only hope that any of these pisspy cowards have, their only hope, and the reason why they're so angry, their only hope is that we give up and we stop fighting and we run for Empire and we run for Saarinen while Legacy is trying to colonize us. They have to convince us to give up and leave before Legacy implodes. Except, why would we do that? Because we have all of this evidence of Legacy being on fire and getting torched, right? So, sorry, guys. We're still here. We're still fighting. We still hold you in utter, absolute contempt, right? Like, And mostly that's on the legacy side. Like, there's some good people who are on the Pappy side on the PanFam group. Like, whatever. I don't want to be like, oh, like, you know, whatever. This group sucks more than the other. Most of the animus is rightfully reserved for the legacy side because, like we said, long before this war started, this war was going to happen and we were going to be working with legacy against PanFam. So, like, there was going to be an Imperium PanFam fight regardless. Lots of shit was going to blow up for a lot of reasons. But let's really just focus on, wow, going to war and relying on Villy to succeed is, it's not going to work, dudes. It's not going to work. You can blow up some more keep stars if it makes you feel better. We're going to fight you on them where we can. We're going to try to bait out your super cap fight, super caps for a fight and see what we can do again. But I'm glad to see you frustrated because it's not the kind of frustration you have from a victorious group of people that are satisfied with their amazing conquest at Delph. We brought all these people together on this fucking show, and I can't stop mocking these idiots in chat. They're just baiting me out with their stupidity. And then I just have to yell at them to cry more. And it's supposed to be a fireside show where it keeps going, but they turned up looking for, ooh, they skipped the meta show last time. We're going to be here and brag about how we're going to blow up a Keepstar. Ooh, wow. Let's forget everything that happened before him too, because it's a totally different war now because you guys decided on crying and stations that it was a totally different war. I guess you only had 3 or 4 Satios in your crappy little alliances. You didn't have 60 plus of the damn things. You didn't have them falling out of your pockets like, ooh, Ben had Satios. So this is what you get.
They're falling out of their pockets now, but hey.
Yes.
I want to hear yours, from you. Yeah. You've heard us blurfing.
Like, you've heard us blurfing. You know, you have Brave moving to Quirius. Like, does their alliance hate them that much? Like, why do they? Quirius is a terrible region.
Oh my God.
It was when we controlled everything, we couldn't get we someone couldn't to live there for free. There.
Even Edit didn't want to be there. We moved to fucking Fountain because it was worse than.
Right. We had to turn it into like Quirius Fight Club to like find anybody who just will happen to live there. And it is just, it's terrible space. Like, that if. Putting an ally, saying, hey, come on, convey Delve with us, abandon all of your space, we're going to give you Quirius?
Like, I mean, they convinced that Shattered Armor guy to say Quirius is great and incredibly defensive. Like, so one of the funniest things about the messaging from Brave about Quirius has been the idea that Quirius is this incredibly defensible. It was the natural fortress region.
All right, here we go.
We told everybody it was a floodplain for a long ass time. We had the Quirius Fight Club in there. We were just trying to find anybody we could stick in fucking Quirius. And now Brave comes along and they have drunk enough of their own Kool-Aid to follow this fucking Shattered Armor puppy, who's like an Ur puppy, like an Omeka Gold tier, kind of like a puppy of puppies. And this motherfucker is like, oh yeah, Quirius is a natural fortress reason, and goons are just dumb. The Imperium is just dumb, and it's actually the most amazing space, which is why nobody has heretofore really gone, wow, we really should get into Quirius and fortress it. But that's what they're doing.
Shattered Armor is a Pro God Legend fanboy. He has been that way for a long time. PGL. And I'll tell you, he drank the Kool-Aid. Piggles has said multiple times, Quirius is a pretty defensible region. It's just you guys don't know how to do it properly. If we had held Quirius, you never would have made it in there. Ignoring the fact that Nully had Quirius twice and lost it both times. But hey, you know, let's not worry about history or anything. Every time these guys see something that we do, they automatically say, well, we could have done that better. But when they had the space, they fucked it up too. So I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Anyway.
Regardless. Not like we threw a camp on the 49U gate that and sat there for 6 months, and they went around instead of actually coming through that gate like they had originally intended.
Like that, and that's the thing. We kept that 49 tech gate camp up there. That was the system where we had Operation Inho go off, because that was where we were trying to stop these guys. They had to go through all through North Quirius to get down to be able to even take the 49 tech group. And the funniest thing is, Brave took like the junk segments of Quirius to live in anyway. Like, PZ and those are not great. That part was always the absolute hardest for us to ever get anybody to stay in, because it sucks. The Trusec is not great. It's the systems are not that defensible. The best pocket in Quirius is that bottom south pocket. It's this bottom south pocket off of Fortec O that Innit lived in for a very long time. We had our first Keepstar in FTAC N, NU4 and H74 were great places to do to do industry and to do crabbing. We had a Satio and a U4. We built a lot of caps down there. That's the best pocket. Severance has that pocket. Brave didn't even take the best pocket in Quirius. So, I mean, I feel bad. It's moving from Ketch to Quirius is like moving from one train track to the other track while the train is coming at you. It's like, well, I guess I'm on the other one now. It's okay. It's just like, this is not the best place to be.
It's like going from Flint to Detroit.
Exactly.
It's roughly equivalent.
Exactly right.
Wow.
It's not exactly, you know, you're not moving downtown. So it's just, for me, it's really frustrating.
They're asking in chat why Goonswarm hasn't, why haven't I been kicked out? Because apparently all Goonswarm really wants to do is make peace with this seething pile of blue donut puppies that are howling for the blood of Goonswarm. But my people are going to get rid of me because they want to make nice and get along with the fucking puppies.
No, we take the olive branch that they try and extend. We pick it up and we whack them across the face with it.
Oh my God. It is amazing. The other thing about this, and this is something that we now know, there was an amazing thread on our Eve a little bit ago where somebody went through, and I don't know who gets the credit for this. You guys probably know better than me. Somebody went through and compiled all of the remind me bot calls that the Pispy people had made about, like, remind me in 3 months, goons will be running to CERN and all this shit. Is, you guys got to remember, when we told you we were still going to be here and fighting you to the absolute last, we were not lying. That was not Herf Blurf. To most of the people that started playing this game in the Great War, for us in an era before Citadels, when you would lose a Keepstar, oh gosh, a Keepstar is getting blown up right now. We might lose a few more of those before our Euros get in the defense gear, or maybe until we get our next opportunity to kick off another Titan fight, we might lose some. Well, guess what, motherfuckers? For the old school guys, when you'd lose a station, you'd lose everything in it. This asset safety stuff makes it so easy for us to just say, all right, cool, we're going to shove in and people are going to take a 15% haircut. There'll be the initial loss of the Citadel when it blows up, if it hasn't made the ISK value of it, which you have to amortize over time because of the delve time units and all this crap. You guys expected us to run for the hills, and now you're stuck whining in chat as you get blueballed on another structure while we get ready to murder zone your Titan fleet again, and you still haven't figured it out.
I got a lot. Like, you guys sitting here, oh, we killed another Keepstar. Okay. Those Keepstars are worth 3 Titans.
I imagine they're worth a lot if you don't have tons of them.
Without a single response, you guys have to kill at least another 50 Keepstars to get close. I'm just saying. All right? Yeah. It's just not, we don't care. You can kill all the Keepstars that are not in 1DQ, and that will matter not at all. Because this war is not about structure bashes. Now, you can claim now that that's what this was about. Oh, we just wanted to clear out Delva from all the goon structures.
Okay. Unfortunately for you, we have screenshots of all the shit you've been saying since this entire war began, and you will never be allowed to forget it. There's never going to be any escape from World War B, the one and only World War B, of course. So, you know, just get used to it. This is where we're going. All right.
So we have talked a lot about
I'm having way
stuff.
Too much fun with this. I've missed the show. I missed the show. I didn't get to scream, cry more, hose mad for a week. It's terrible. This is fantastic.
There's one thing that's not on the sheet that I want to mention, which is NC Dot smugging about taking the Goon Swarm Alliance.
They didn't even get the ticker right.
Oh my god.
That was beautiful. Yeah, they were. So for people that missed the memo, for a long time, Peen of Smash of Izrad had control of the original Goonswarm Alliance, which was cartooned. And as part of Izrad leaving Goonswarm, he let it die. He didn't pay the alliance bills. I'm not sure whether that was him being kind or just a fuck up. And he let it go out to pasture. And, like, I thought about hoovering it up. I thought about, okay, well, we can make a Goonswarm, but, like, whatever. The original one is gone now. And then Lady Scarlet and the Evolution guys pop up like, oh my God, the Evolution has made this big one win, and we're still totally not mad about the Great War.
And the best part
and they
is
didn't
they
get the ticker right. They didn't get the fucking ticker right. It was like Goonswarm with some other kind of thing.
They said goons. They didn't say, oh God. Yeah, it's goons. Like, are you kidding me?
Like, wow.
And then, of course, the best part was that somebody else decided to make, like, Goonswarm Dot, and that got changed by CCP, so I had to laugh about that.
But whoever did that really put some effort into it. Like, they did all the corps, they got the All the CEOs were all
Karma Feet was
Karma one. Feet. I like the Karma Feet. That made me happy. So, all right. So we're gonna go. We're gonna scoop now. I one of the reasons why we brought Bruton on, and I want to go into this, and then I want to get to Riv because she's been sitting here quietly listening to us Nullsecers talk out of our asses for the last 45 minutes. I wanted to talk. One of the important things that we have been focusing on the CSM, and Nom Nom and I can agree with that, and it's not really the CSM, but focusing on it, but CCP has, and that is the new player experience, getting new players into the game, getting them trained up, trying to get them to stick around and to become bitter vets like the rest of us. And one of the reasons why we wanted to have Bruton on was because he is taking the lead on Karma Fleets and Goon Swarm's new bro education efforts. So we're going to move into the Nullsec Power Hour to talk about how we are raising from scratch the next generation of EVE players through Karma Fleet Universe. All right, Bruton, I'm going to throw up on the screen here. There was an article in PC Games, and Ian Boudreau wrote this the other day, and I'll throw the link in the chat here, talking about how all of EVE Online's corps are bringing in fresh blood for the wars, for the games of the wars that are happening. And obviously they're talking about World War B in particular. And obviously you can tell that I've been looking at buying a Corvette, so that's why I'm getting all of these ads for Corvettes on the screen. So if you look at all of this, you get through here, and Bruton is quoted down here, and I'll let him talk about it. But one of the efforts that we've been trying to make in Goons and in the Imperium is trying to bring new players into the game. Bruton, talk to us about Karma Fleet University, what you guys are doing.
Well, one of the biggest things that, and the common misconception, I do hear this quite often, is all you're just filling heads with propaganda and teaching them to be F1 monkeys. No. Because at the end of the day, I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, you can be a great EVE player and never be a part of a corporation or an alliance. However, comma, you cannot be an effective part of a member corporation or alliance if you don't know how to play EVE. So the way we focus and the way we focus our training is on teaching people how to actually play this crazy, ridiculous game that we actually have in front of us. And we start off with taking nothing for granted, showing people what security statuses are, walking them through how to build ships, walking them through basic PvP. We try and get them involved in ganking because that teaches multiple things. It teaches you fleet dynamics. It teaches you combat, teaches you to get rid of the fear of loss, which is one of the biggest single problems that we have identified coming from other MMOs where, you know, your favorite set of blue gear that you've looted off of whatever raid boss will last you until the next expansion. No, in EVE, ships are ammunition, and the faster we can break them of the World of Warcraft mentality, the better they are in the long run. So to say that any block is just generating members, that's partially true, because by generating new players for the game, we're creating players that are going to stick with EVE long term, and therefore they're much more likely to stay as contributing members of the Alliance in the long run.
How many folks have you guys been bringing in to Karma Fleet University? What's the recruitment rate, Ben?
We started off a year ago with around 50. In July, we had 500. And right now, we're about to tip over 1,300. So,
see, that's great. That's solid recruitment. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of people consider Karma Fleet to be like the new bro-friendly corp in Goons. But now we've got an even newer new bro-friendly group. And I think last night we were talking about this, and one of the things that you said that struck me was, it's not enough to just, we're not just trying to recruit these guys into Goon Swarm. We're trying to get them to stick with EVE. And if they stick with EVE, we think they'll make the right decision and stay with us. But even if they don't, we've got a new EVE player that's going to be stuck around. We still
win. Either your content or you're a bro. One of the two. Either you're part of our team or you're part of the enemy team. Either way, we're going to see you on the battlefield. So one way or the other, as long as you stick with the game, and that's the mentality, and anybody in KFU, if you're in chat, you could verify this. Anybody that comes into KFU, we tell them flat out, it's like, you know, there's a yellow brick road that leads to Karma Fleet and the Goon Swarm Federation. If you choose to follow the yellow brick road, that's yours. It's there for your taking. But in the meantime, until you make that decision or until you cross that path, then we're going to teach you everything that we can while you're here, because we want you to succeed in EVE. We want you to be a successful EVE player. And in that, if you're a long-term EVE player, you're much more likely to stick with the Alliance and be a long-term member. If we just dump people into the grinder like certain organizations do, their turnover rate, even within their organizations, is abhorrently high. So if we take care of them and teach them the stuff that they need to know and leave the personal choice to personal choice, then we have a much stronger chance of succeeding in our long-term goals.
I think that's great.
I want to briefly respond to something that's in chat there, mentioning that Karma Fleet is a place for veterans too, which it absolutely is. And like, this is, I think, where Brave kind of made a big mistake in that they made themselves the newbie alliance, and they're all newbies. And, you know, as a new player, you don't want to be in an alliance of only newbies. You want to be in an alliance that is, that has a lot of veteran players who really want to help newbies.
The reason that Karma Fleet University is succeeding right now, and we are succeeding by any measurement, you take any metric, you throw it up on the board, if you pull any statistic activity, we've got a third of the people online and on an average day as Karma Fleet does. So, and we're about a third of their size at this point. So by any metric, we're succeeding. And the reason for that is we have a healthy mix of veteran players who enjoy teaching and enjoy sharing their experience and telling their stories, and new players who can benefit from that. We merge them together, and we have a solid organizational structure as a result.
And I think, frankly, you know, one of the things that is critical to this war effort, I think, on both sides has been recruiting. I think both sides, Horde in particular and Goons in particular, I think have benefited from bringing a lot of new players in. A lot of folks want to get involved in the war. So the one thing that we always tell everybody is, you want to get involved in the war, go look for one of these new groups that'll get you in and that'll help train you up. And I stand by this. I think what KFU is doing, what Karma Fleet does in terms of the Imperium, is hands down the best new bro training effort and the newbie training effort that we have that you're going to find anywhere. I have seen the curriculum that they go through. Bruton has classes set up. He's got professors teaching courses. I mean, it's like EVE University, but it's NullSec centric, I think. And it looks to me like we really kind of get these guys to teach them what it's like to PvP, how to do the stuff that we like to do that tends to keep people in the game. And I think, frankly, that's the number one thing that we need to see in the new player experience, is getting new players hooked up with groups like KFU, groups like Horde, groups like Brave, that are going to go in there and they're going to teach you guys, and EVE University, obviously, teach new players how to do what they do, how to stick around, get them involved, get them with a community that they're going to engage with and hopefully stick around with. And that's, I think that's the best way to keep people in the game.
At the end of the day,
I got a thing on this, which is one of the things that is different now as a consequence of this war. This sort of there's an interesting link here, I think, between Elitist Ops, ISRAD, and Karma Fleet University, which is, as Elitist Ops was getting ready to leave Goonswarm, join Snuffed Out, and go back to their roots, Peanut Smash was incredibly helpful in talking to me about how he does things in his corporation. And we had this back and forth, and we were like, wait a second, you know, we can try to do this at scale for the entire Imperium. So there has always been a criticism of joining a NullSec alliance and then being sort of pointed towards being a F1 monkey, right? You can just join one of these alliances, and as long as you turn up and do the bare minimum, that's enough. And that's true for every other block except for, and when I say every other block, obviously in NCDOT and in PamFam, if you're in one of the more elite organizations, that's different. But when you're talking about F1 monkeys, you're usually not talking about PL or NCDOT. And so one of the things that has changed in just this last month is that we are no longer just going to be teaching people in places like Karma Fleet University. And then when they are mentored in, if they end up inside of, you know, NullSec Imperium Warfare, is we're not just going to teach you how to press F1. Because the bar has been raised. We're going to be teaching you how to press F2. We're going to teach you how to do more than just the bare minimum. So if you are looking around, either you're interested in getting into NullSec, but you're not so sure about being an F1 monkey and joining the biggest group of cowards ever assembled in the history of EVE, the single largest blue donut in the history of online and gaming, if you don't want to be a joiner, if you don't want to be a mook, to go work for the Piss Pea guys. If you do find your way into an organization like Karma Fleet University and you end up in the Imperium, it's not going to be just F on monkey. We are going to do our best to teach you, but we are going to teach you to go beyond that, to do not just one thing, but to do two things, which I'm quite excited about. We have seen a huge amount of enthusiasm from our line to get in there. Our FCs are delighted because suddenly they're getting as much support as they, I mean, maybe not as much support as they'd like, but they're getting way more support and it's on the uptick. It'll be a work in process, work in progress. So as far as mentoring, as far as new player organizations and the direction that they're heading you in, joining the Imperium is not easy. Obviously, we're fighting the entire galaxy. It is us against basically everyone that isn't a blue donut coward. It's not going to be simple. You can't just join us and press F1, but we're going to do our damnedest to teach you to be a better player of EVE Online and to make some friends along the way. I think that the work and the struggle is worth it, and clearly the work and the struggle is worth it. Otherwise, we would have failure cascaded long ago. But yeah, it's fantastic work you guys are doing.
All right.
Thank you.
Burton, no, thank you guys. We're going to, what I'm going to do real quick, we're going to talk with Riv about MER type stuff. And then I'm waiting to get a text message from Fountain Frank that he's ready. Apparently he's on some kind of mission and he's got to like get outside or something before he can talk to us. So
All right. We're
going to go to Duke Pearson and Corporate Bear. We're going to talk about some CCP related stuff with Riv. And then we're going to get, hopefully we'll get a war update from Frank. We're going to go a little long today, guys. Deal with it. We missed last
I heard
week.
Too many blurfs. It's my fault. I just wanted to scream, cry more, hose mad.
Extra more free stuff.
Exactly.
So here we go. So last week, we talked, actually not last week, 2 weeks ago, we had a long segment about the monthly economic report. And I brought up some numbers, showed some things on the screen, talked about how things were looking. And immediately, I get yelled at from people who are pointing out that the MER is not exactly the best way to talk about the way that the economy is looking in EVE because there's a lot of things wrong with it. And the most expert person that I know to talk about MER-related stuff is Riv, who is the editor-in-chief of INN. She is a high-sec trader extraordinaire and the best analyst that I know in the game. And she actually helped me to get educated so that we could educate CCP to tell them, hey guys, the MER is jacked up, you need to fix it. And I'm hoping that we'll get to see, hopefully that they will take that to heart, make some changes, and we'll get to see some fixes done to the MER. So Riv, let's talk a little bit about the MER. You yelled at me last week, and nicely, obviously, because when we talked about the MER, there was some stuff that was screwed up. Can we talk a little bit about what your issues are with it and what you want to see them fix?
Yes. Hi. I would like them to fix the fact that there are data discrepancies within the MER.
We'll show some of that right now. I'm gonna pull up the this is a PowerPoint that Riv created that I used that I gave to CCP. We're gonna go through some of this stuff real quickly to talk about it. Let's go. And yes, Mittens is probably gonna fall asleep during this part, but it's okay. Just you could just take a little bit of a break. Think about fish for a little while. We're gonna talk about numbers. All right, here we go. So this was the slideshow that we put together. So go ahead, Riv.
So yeah, the problem with the MER is that there are some major discrepancies between the data that gives you the bounty amounts in EVE. This is like not counting the ESS stuff. This is before the ESS. There are problems with the data. There is problems with the production count in the MER as well. There are two sets of data in the MER. There is a daily count of production, mining, destruction, and also market activity. And then there is a sum of the regions in EVE. And one of the main problems is that there are days missing, as Brisk has up now. There are three, 4 days missing from the January 2021 data set. So this means that the data isn't complete to begin with. And if you go to the one with the regions, with the region missing, Brisk.
There you go. Cash is not there.
Yeah, cash always gets left out. It's very sad.
And that, right, and that's, it does. So that's, and that's part of the problem is it's just we're all trying to use the same data, and we like to compare data across months and stuff. And the problem is the data is not consistent from one month to the next, and there's missing days and things. So we're looking at numbers, and when we try to say, all right, this is how much was mined in this time period, or this is how much was ratted in this time period, we're not comparing apples to apples. We're comparing apples to oranges, and it makes the numbers look screwy. So that's kind of frustrating. It's frustrating to me. And that's not the only problem.
No, I think like the one that I highlighted most in the PowerPoint was about the production differences between the daily production in the entirety of Eve, so including wormholes, and then between, if you go back one risk.
Yep, go ahead.
Yep. Yep. If there is, if you sum up all the regions, like the Empire regions, that came to 109 trillion in production. And then if you added up the daily production across the whole of Eve, that only came to 80 trillion. So there is 40 trillion missing between the regions and the daily data. And I think that CCP have forgotten to put in one of the engineering structures. They did this with the Citadels. When Citadels came out on the markets, you would pull the Delve data for the month and it would say Delve had 50 billion of trade done, because for a year CCP forgot to add in Citadel markets. So then they suddenly added them in and Delve suddenly had trillions in trade.
So there's 40 trillion missing from this, because just like they fuck up like leaving cash for the region in there, that they're probably just derping on something, and there's this 40.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's a big enough discrepancy that it even can penetrate my very small mitten brain in terms of numbers and go 40 trillion missing, likely due to a spreadsheet error. That sounds like a very logical explanation. And huh. Okay.
And there are other things that are in there that we talked about. I mean, we were looking at the ratting numbers. We looked at the ratting numbers, and they broke out the ESS, the main bank, into a separate category. So you had the ratting numbers look really low, but then the ESS added in another 8 trillion-ish or so that would have normally been included in the ratting number. But I said 28, but still, it also doesn't include the reserve banks that we still don't have keys to that have a ton of ISK, like trains of ISK is locked behind these keys nobody can get to yet. And that's not captured on anywhere that we can see. So when it comes down to, and then the other thing, and I think this is important, this is one of the last times I'll show the PowerPoint. On our other list of other issues, they don't include Plex in the CPI, which I don't know how do you not include the main, like the reserve currency in your consumer price index? I don't get it, especially when that's a huge traded item. They put the skill extractors in the secondary producer index, but they don't put Plex anywhere, so that's not there. And then the other thing is, the basket items need to be updated because they don't include a lot of new stuff, like all of the Edencom. All of the Edencom modules are not included, and none of the skill books or any of that kind of stuff. So there's a ton of stuff that we identified this, which we brought this up to CCP. I provided this shot to them. We talked about it in the last two CSM meetings, just to say, hey, we need better data because we're trying to do analysis. We're trying to see what the actual impact of your ecosystem changes are with using the data that you're providing to us. And we can't do that because the data is incomplete or jacked up in various ways. So that's kind of the point of why we're even bringing this up. Rip, is there anything else on this topic that you want to talk about? And then I think we'll scooch on to the next thing.
No, I think you need to scooch on to the next thing because you've run with Mittens being so excitable this week.
He's totally excited. He was excited. This was an exciting thing. All right. I'm getting a text message. I think I just saw the text message come in from Fountain Frank that he's ready for his segment. So we're going to do the war update real quick. Then we're going to wrap things up finally at the end of the week. And we'll go from there. So be right back. We're going to grab Frank and see if I can get him on the horn here. Cause I don't think he's here. He's not in my office. So I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Almost there. Critical sniper. Butts.
Buttons. Pushing buttons, but it doesn't work. Guys, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here today. We're in the middle of a secret project. I got George here. We're undercover. He's right here. He's pretending to be on the CSM. We have a secret project that we're working on. We're trying to do something super secret. If it happens, we'll see it this week. And it'll be really cool. And it might happen. And if it does, then George will have done the biggest coup in the history of EVE Online. He's right here. He's ready. He's pretending he's on the CSM. We're going to keep it quiet. We're not going to yell. But if it happens, you heard that it was going to happen here first. And it's going to be the coolest thing ever. So I'm going to go back to hiding, because if they catch us in the server room, we're going to die. And I'm not going to get caught. So we're going to go. You guys can go back and talk and have a good time. All right. Fountain Frank. Frank is out.
Good luck, Frank, on your secret mission. It's wow. Okay, that happened. Well, we're going to hear more from Fountain Frank, hopefully, in maybe next week, maybe the week after that. I don't know. Maybe he's going to disappear. But if he does disappear, I'm going to look for the fucking monkey, because it's probably Curious George's fault. I think that's a fair assumption. Okay, I'm afraid one of these days I'm going to have a seizure on live TV from laughing too hard from that shit. Like, seriously. Okay.
All right, so that was Frank. Apparently, he's on some secret mission. I guess he said something about a server room. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe something will happen this week that'll be cool. And hopefully they won't get arrested or captured or anything. I mean, it's bad enough that I'm still waiting on the bail bondsman to give me my money back from bailing George out for trying to chop down a tree on Asher's house. So we'll go from there. All right, guys, you got an extra 10 minutes out of us today because we missed last week. Had a lot of fun. I want to thank Riv. I want to thank Bruton. I want to thank Nom Nom for tagging along today. This was a great show. The fact that we got Bruton on camera, I mean, is just amazing. And I can't let him get away without playing this one more time. We gotta play the Pancake Cat one more.
It has to happen.
It has to happen. And thanks to Adana for putting that together for us. All right, everybody. I think we're ready. We're wrapped up. Nom Nom, Bruton, Kira, if you have any final words for us before we get out of here?
All praise the Pancake Cat.
Oh, yeah. All right, so everybody, thank you all for joining us. This has been the Meta Show for March 13th, 2021. I'm Brisker Ball, joined by the Mitanni, our favorite fish enthusiast, and Aminet, Bruton, and Riv. Thank you all for watching and joining us. We'll see you again next week, and you stay classy, New Eden.